Hey, everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance for a special author spotlight. On this episode, we are chatting with author Sawyer Bennett. Hello. Welcome back to the podcast.
Oh, it's been so long. I'm so happy to be here.
We are happy to have you back because actually, I am so excited to chat with you about your new series, which is not the... You launched two new series this year now.
I said, yeah.
You're just keeping things crazy over there, right?
Got to keep it exciting. Can't keep writing thing off. Everybody, you know, can't just always do hockey.
Right? You got to do something else. Well, you have a lot of things going on, so we're actually going to talk about a couple things. But our main focus is going to be on your new series, Formula... or the new series is called Race Fever. Book one in the series is called Formula Fling. And that releases on December the 10th when we're releasing this episode. That is out today. But before we get into all of that, I did mention that you had launched another series this year. You launched your Bluegrass Empire. Why are words going to be hard today?
It might be one of those nights.
It just might be. You launched Bluegrass Empire, which has been really fun to read. A little bit of some suspense elements to some of them, and the family saga. Like, it brings me to those Dynasty Falcon Crest vibes.
Yeah. So I was actually. Did you ever read Fern Michaels? That's kind of like what I was. That kind of family saga type thing. Yeah. A little bit more modernized version of it.
Yeah. So has that been fun to write?
It has been so fun to write because I wanted to just do something more expansive than, you know, the hockey stories are just, you know, they're very in a small box, each story. And although they kind of weave together and interrelate, I did want to do something that was more expansive and that could, you know, really spread out among generations of kind of family generational type stories.
Yeah.
And I thought that would be really neat. I had a blast writing them. They came out so easy. It was just really fun writing.
Are you done in that world? Don't we have one more brother?
I don't know if I'm done or not.
Okay.
I had originally committed just to doing a trilogy.
Okay.
And that's out. And when I say trilogy, they're still independent, of course.
Yeah.
You don't have to read all three of them. I don't know. It really depends on how well the Race Fever series does, because I've only got so much bandwidth to write. And you know, the Pittsburgh Titans is still going so strong. I can't abandon that. So it just really depends. I think Lisa and I are gonna make a decision. You know, after the first of the year.
Well, we always say never, because because I'll be honest, we did, I think it was back in July or August, we did one of the plot a book sessions that we've been working on over the last couple of years. And in it, I think you mentioned something about racing and that you were learning about racing. And I think the next day I cornered Lisa in text messages, Lisa, your assistant. And I was like, if she has the time, if she has the space, she has to write this. And Lisa's like, there is no room in the calendar. Do not say anything. Do not bring it up. There is no space for this. And I'm like, it's hot. Like, I see it everywhere. Was there just a big race like last weekend?
Yeah, in Vegas, right?
In Vegas, and it was everywhere.
Yeah, you know, ever since the documentary on Netflix, Drive to Survive, came out, I think it's just the sport is gaining such huge popularity in the United States because it's such a European or international type of sport. And we did not have room in the series, in the schedule, but we made it. I had to buckle down and cut my writing time down on the prior book and slide that book in there to get it going. And once we committed to going, and then we just redid the entire schedule for 25 and 2026 and 2027 to kind of shuffle everything around. Lisa's brilliant at doing that stuff. And we were able to get, and that's another book that came out really, really fast because I was just so excited to write it. So we were able to slip that into the schedule this year.
Yeah. She's like, do not say anything. And I'm like, and then when you, and I didn't say anything, I was good, Lisa. So if you're listening, Lisa, just remember I was good. But when I saw, so we got the teasers for this series in King, your last Pittsburgh Titans book that came out, right? Was that the last one? Yes. And we kind of saw that Brian from the owner of the Titans was working on a special secret project. And then they announced this, and I was like, yay, you should have seen our group chat. We were just
I
like,
love it.
did you read
I
this?
love it. I love it. Yeah, and I love crossing my series over, as you know,
Yeah.
bleeding one series into the other and having crossover that way. And she's the perfect character to do it.
She is. I mean, she's so dynamic on page, and we still are getting more Titans. And I think you and I talked about it last time we did a thing. You kind of your happy place is really one or, two series at the same time. That when we get past two, you're like, I don't know where to go.
And it's also I mean, the readers are so voracious, right? Like they're accustomed to getting so many Titan books out a year and that type of thing. So I gotta be careful of that. I mean, heck, I want to go back to my Stone Veil series. I've got more books to write in that series. I just don't have the space to
Yeah.
do it. So
And I
yeah.
don't think it's coming until 2025, if I listened to Lisa correctly, which I might not have. You recently got back the rights to one of my favorite series of books that you've written, and that's the Sugar Bowl series.
Yeah, so I think the digitals are up
Are the digitals up?
already. Yeah, we're still working on some a good print cover for it, 'cause I had to redo everything, and I don't have the audio recorded. Once I got the audio rights back, they took that puppy those puppies off, for sale. So I don't know when I'm going to be able to record the audio, because audio is super expensive.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping I can get to that. But the digitals are out already, and yeah. I love that trilogy. I love being able to go to like a really dark, dark place with a romance.
Well, you said to me once, you're like, I don't really think I write dark romance, and I'm like, I'm sorry. Did you not read your Sugar Bowl books? Like, there's kidnapping
Murder,
and murder,
everything.
like.
I would love to write more than that. And there's the potential to do a spin-off with Dennis and Caroline.
Yeah.
I get messages all the time, will you please write a book about them? And I'm like, I was gonna once I get the rights back to Sugar Bowl series,
Yeah.
that's on my to-do list of books I need to write, is that's one.
Well, Leah and I, so if people are members of our Patreon, Leah and I, Lisa sent us review copies of the three books. And Leah has never read it before, but I obviously had read it before. And so we are going to do a series of reviews up
Nah.
for the three books to help people to pick them up, because it's one of the reasons I like it is dark, and it has those suspense elements that are so good. But it's actually a really great, like, if you're not sure you want to read dark romance, like, this is like that great bridge over.
It is a bridge. It's not like, super taboo or anything like that. But yeah, yeah, so
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm so excited. And I can't wait to see new covers. So
exactly.
I'm excited.
That'd be great. I
So let's talk about what we're really here to talk about, which is your latest release and your newest book, Formula Fling. And like I said, the series is Race Fever. So you had to kind of build a Formula One world.
Yeah, and that took a lot of work. It was a lot of work in spreadsheets, and I have never spent so much time researching something in my life. I mean, even when I was a lawyer and had to research the law, I don't think I've ever put this much effort into anything. Because it's such a complex sport,
Yeah.
and there's just so much to learn, and I wanted. You know that it's important to me in my romance books that I provide sporting knowledge, right? Like it just can't, be a hockey player falls in love with a girl. The sport has got to be woven in, and
Right.
because I had just fallen in love with Formula Racing, I knew I wanted to teach readers about it too at the same time. So, trying to find that balance between not getting too technical, but but making sure you understand all the complexities, because to me that's what makes the sport so exciting, and it's dangerous, and you know.
Well, and it's not necessarily native to U.S.
No.
consumers. It's not something that is, it's only been prevalent, you know, I would say in the U.S. probably in the last like maybe 5-10 years.
Yeah. I mean, and I didn't know anything about it until, you know, a year ago when I started. I mean, it was like literally a year ago I started watching. Like I said, I got hooked on Drive to Survive. And I'm like, never been a NASCAR fan. I'll watch some NASCAR races. But
she says that she lives, you know, in NASCAR country.
I know, right? I'm like in the heart of it. And man, it's just so thrilling. And the amount of strategy and that goes into, it's not just a great driver getting into a super fast car and going as fast as they can. There's just so much that goes into getting that win. And of course it's also glamorous. It's super, you know, it's I think Formula One racing is the most expensive sport there is in the world.
Well, your luxury brands, it is European based. The start of it. So, you know, it already has that continental feel, that heightened luxury. But then there's the drama amongst the teams and then amongst even the teammates.
Yes, totally. And that's real. Like if you watch the documentary, it's real. So I was like, oh, there's so much great, you know, ideas that I can do to just my, you know, pop up the angst, the drama, the interplay and stuff. So.
So you also, one of the things, especially, and I think we get it a lot in this book, is you do show the competitive, the glamorous, but also there's a grittiness to this world. And it's not dark. It's just that, like, I don't know how to explain. Grittiness is the only word I can think of that, like, there is a level of lack of civility amongst some of them.
Yeah. Yeah, they're super competitive. These guys are just, you know, buzzing around, you know, a track at, you know, 230 miles an hour trying to. I mean, I've watched some people in these races that they drive super aggressively, right? And you get in a wreck. It can be deadly, right?
Right.
These guys are, and they're all such young drivers. I guess they're just too stupid.
They don't really know any better.
Right, exactly.
So you set this world up that Brienne is buying this team that is currently in out of London.
Yes.
So will the majority of the series take place then? European?
No. You should see my spreadsheet. I'll have to send it to you. I've got my 10 teams, and they are in, you know, there's some in England. I've got an Austrian team. I've got a Swiss team. I've got a Mexican team. I've got an Australian team. What else do I got? I got two Italian teams. What else am I missing? And I've got two American teams.
I was going to say, is there any U.S. teams?
Obviously, Titans Racing, and I created another American team as well, too. And, you know, so the great thing about, I say the great thing, but it is very difficult to write, is it is such an international sport. You've got people from every kind of nationality on a team. You know, the driver, everybody's just from all over the world. And so, you know, I have got people, you know, like, in trying to, like, write the vernacular, the slang or whatever, is extremely difficult. That's been taking a lot of research to do, you know. I mean, I need to get, luckily I've got a British beta reader who's checking all my British terminology, but you know, I've got a Hispanic driver, a German, and I've, you know, there's French drivers, and it's just hard. And luckily on the audio, my two narrators that I'm using for the entire series are wonderful with accents. They can carry off a breadth of different accents. So
I know it was Kit Swan. She does the female narration, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
And then who did, I can't remember.
John Masters. And I ended up using him for the Bluegrass series too. He is, mark my words, he is going to become super popular. He is just amazing. And he's one of those narrators. If you go look at his picture, he looks like he's maybe 18 years old and he's got the voice of a 35-year-old, you know, man. But he can carry off, you know, when you have to carry off female dialogue in his point of view.
Yeah, he does. That.
He can do accents. He is amazing. And I think we're going to see really good things from him. And Pitt's amazing too. I definitely wanted her to do these books.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. With all the accents, the audio will be so complicated because if they're engaging with an Italian driver,
he
has to speak back the Italian driver's dialogue.
Absolutely. And you know, I've seen Kit throw accents before at a book signing, and I was just, oh my gosh, she's really, really good. So if I ever have a series, there's a lot of accents, I'm getting her. And so we're gonna use Kit and Sean for all the books.
Smart.
They're just, you know, really good at that.
Well, and I think both of those do, you kind of said, you know, Sean does a really great female narration when he speaks the female dialogue. And I think Kit does a really good dude's narration when she has to read the guy's dialogue. And I know that's something that people talk about often, you know, like sometimes you get a guy that doesn't have a very good girl's, you know, female voice.
That's right. Yeah.
And you're kind of like, okay, don't do that anymore, dude.
Right, exactly. And I'm a big audio listener. That's all I do now is listen to audio. And if the narrator doesn't get me right at the beginning, I will abandon a good book because of bad narration.
I'm starting to learn the more audio that I do. And I think part of it is just age a little bit. Like after you stare at your computer all day working on a manuscript, you know how it is.
Yeah.
You want to be able to read a book at night to relax and chill out. But my eyes are tired.
Done. My eyes are done too. In fact, now I keep switching between my glasses because my eyes are just really tired. I'm having a hard time seeing it. There we go.
Yeah. Eyes get tired and I'm like, I don't know how much longer I can play with bifocals before I pitch these out a window.
Exactly.
And the audio, it gives me that opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
I love it. So Formula Fling Tropes, it's a workplace romance, fake secret identity. They're kind of, I put it as enemies to lovers, but I really think they're more adversaries to lovers. They kind of have that.
Yeah, they're not enemy. You're right.
They don't hate each other. They just rub each other really the wrong way.
Exactly. And I think he probably rubs her, you know, wrong more than vice versa. But you know, I wanted to do that whole, it's really like kind of me, right? It's a romance author, you know, learning about the world of formula racing. And you'll hear me, by the way, colleagues, as you read Formula International, I had to stay away from the words Formula One Grand Prix for trademark rights. So I created all new terminology. So it's not Formula One, it's Formula International. It's not Grand Prix, we renamed it Global Prix, things like that. But I forgot where I was going now.
That's just okay. Totally. We're talking about her being a romance author.
Right. And so I thought, you know, what would be the best first book, you know, trope or idea or whatever? And I thought, a romance author trying to learn the sport because she wants to write a romance book about formula racing. And I thought, because that's what I want to do. So the heroine was born.
And she is Posy. And she's a little fish out of water. She's a little awkward, but I really loved her. Like, I loved her character. That's one of the things I think that you give us continually with all of your books. We get these heroines that are strong and determined. And even if they're in the middle of kind of a situation and need a little bit of rescuing, they still are fighting and holding their head high. We're not getting any meek wallflowers in Sawyer Bennett books.
Let me tell you something. I tried to write Posy as me. She was in my mind, she was going to go in and kind of be, you know, afraid of her own shadow, but was determined to do this. And Lex, the hero, was going to kind of steamroll over her. And I got about four chapters in and I was like, it's not working. I had to go back and redo every bit of that because I literally can't write a female character like that. I tried it. I remember one other time I failed miserably. I tried it in my Cold Fury book, Zach. It was a nanny. He was the nanny.
Yeah.
And I wanted her to be really meek because he was kind of gruff and asshole-ish, and I wanted him to steamroll right over her. And same thing. I ended up having to start over and redo it, and I just can't. I don't think I've ever written a heroine that's like that.
You know, we still laugh about, like, Veronica from Rigg's book, like, jumping on his dad and mom and, like, beating on them to get them to leave the sister alone. Those are the characters that Sawyer Bennett writes.
Exactly. Exactly. I should really challenge myself to write a different type of heroine, but I don't think I can.
I was going to say, I think they're fine. I mean, we were doing an episode a couple weeks ago and we were laughing about Abby from Omega, which was the last book in the Jameson series, the Jameson Security Force series. We were laughing about her and her disaster of a series of meet cutes with her hero. Because that's something you also give us. Like, you don't really have meet cutes. You kind of have meet disasters.
I love that. I'm going to hashtag that.
You can. Because even if we look at, like, some of your Pittsburgh Titan books, like, the meetings are a disaster. Like, someone messes up.
It's surprising they find they're happily ever after.
I mean, in Canon, she, like, spilled coffee on him. In Gage, she thinks he doesn't like her because he won't make eye contact with her.
Yeah, I love it.
You have hilarious meat disasters.
Yeah, I like it.
Which kind of fits, right?
It does. It certainly does.
One of the things we really get in this book that I just love, love, love is when we get a playboy with a redemption arc.
Yeah.
So our hero has a reputation.
He does. He does. And I think that's probably going to be a theme you're going to see a lot in the Race Fever series, because I do think that kind of goes with the territory of this glamorous, you know, wealthy world that Formula Racing exists in. And I had, I was afraid I was not making him bad enough. I think he turned very quickly.
Falls very quickly. Like, he falls under her charms. Oh. Okay. So one of the themes that we really see in this book is you really try to break down some stereotypes too in this book. And we kind of, staying in our safe space and exploring new opportunities, which is what Posey is doing. So you kind of break into that.
And I thought that was, I thought that was really brave of her, right? Like, I tried to imagine myself doing that as a romance author. There's no way in hell I would have had the guts to do that, right?
Right, because she writes historical, and now she's like,
yeah, so definitely she's just taking a huge risk with her career, because we all know as romance authors, you get in a niche, it's hard to, and you get a following there, it's hard. But to travel to another country and to pretend to be a journalist so you can get your foot in the door and write this, you know, article and stuff, I was very proud of her for doing that.
Yeah, it really just endears you more to her as a character.
Yeah.
So, and something else that we get kind of in this book is about pursuit of passion and authenticity. While she does have to fake and kind of change her identity a little bit, she still is trying to be true to who she is, what leads her forward. And I did really feel like this book, while yes, it's in the racing world, we really saw the growth for Posey, like who she was in the beginning to who she was in the end. She was just really dynamic. I really connected with her, I guess.
Yeah, I did too. She's definitely my favorite character in that book. Lex is great too, but I think I see a lot of her ways that I would wish I could be, right? It's again that little bit of me being able to live live through her a little bit, but yeah.
I get that. I get that. Okay, so that Formula Fling is, it's you can buy it direct from the Sawyer Bennett website. All of
yeah,
that'll
so it's
be
already live on the website, which by the time everybody sees this, it'll be on retailers on the 10th. Yep.
But you can grab, is the audiobook still exclusive over there for a couple weeks and then it goes out?
No. It's up on Findaway and it's been accepted by Audible. We're just waiting for the quality thing. It should be up live by next Tuesday.
Perfect. So you can buy it at all retails, but you can also get it straight from the Sawyer Bennett direct store, which all of that will be linked in our on the shelf show notes at buzzingaboutromance.com. So what is next for you? Because we know that you aren't going to sit still for a minute.
No, Rafferty has been written, and that is, I believe that is over in, should be a narration right now. Should be the narration, should be wrapping on that.
It comes out in January.
And I am currently writing the next Race Fever book, Formula Chance, and it is the Pittsburgh Titans book. And so there's a lot of, there are a lot of appearances by Brienne Norcross, and we also will see Drake in this book. So, in fact, I just wrote that theme today.
Fun.
Yeah.
I have to say, Brienne and Drake's wedding, which was perfect at the end of King.
Right?
It was perfect.
I think it was perfect for them too, right? Because she could have had any wedding.
Yeah.
He wanted,
but it fits to like kind of what their engagement was that we had. It made the most sense for them.
It did to me too. It felt right to write it that way.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Well, thank you so much for coming on and hanging out with me for this episode.
Thank you for letting me. I adore
always,
you.
Always. Until next time, everybody. Happy reading.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.